أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الانسان انك كادح الى ربك كدحا فملاقي صدق الله العظيم صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
So we've been looking at سورة الانشقاق سورة الانشقاق You know the سورة number 84 So now you should know all this 25 آيات It's a late مكي سورة And this, the word inshiqaq literally means something that is broken or breaks apart, but it's irreparable. There's quite a lot of surahs in the Quran, infitar for example, but infitar can still be paper or cloth which you can stitch together or tie up or rather tape up with some tape. But inshiqaq doesn't. We were looking at the two focus points of inshiqaq, which you will do with every surah. One focus point was every human being will meet their striving. So whatever I thought in my mind success was, I will get there. And the second thing was that every stage will come to an end. That means the human being will at the end of the day come to his or her conclusion, which is death and then qiyamah and so on and so forth. We said we'd divide the surah into five sections, if you remember. The first section was cosmic chaos, and we talked about that because that cosmic chaos happens on the day of Qiyamah. We talked about accountability, we talked about Jannah and Jahannam. We also started talking about how we would prepare for accountability with Muhasabah. The second section was a section we were looking at the last yesterday, I think, and we looked at that section where what is the concept of success? And if you remember, we looked at Suratul Asr, which tells us what is the divine concept of success. The third section tells us how we will get there, or rather every stage will come to an end. The fourth section talks about a warning to those who don't follow divine guidance. And the fifth section talks about the limitless bounties a human being has when he or she follows divine guidance. Now, yesterday we talked about the bare minimum that was required for success. And I mentioned that it's like, I just want to get through this particular stage, whether you want, it's like your child going 7+ or 11+, or whether they're going to get the degree or whatever it is, you just want them to pass, that's there. Now there are various things that assist this. You can't do it on your own. If you remember Suratul Asr, it started off by saying, wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Every human being, it said the human being. Singular. So when we do something wrong, it's solitary confinement. We're not going to announce it. You know, in Gujarati, we'll say, andar ne andar gutai. You know, inside, you stay there. When you do something wrong, you will not announce to people, excuse me, I've gossiped. You just don't do it. Even Sayyidah Maryam didn't do anything wrong. Nothing. What happened to her? She's taken out of the mihrab. She goes away and she gives birth to a child. Yes? Sayyidah Maryam gives birth to Prophet Isa. Yes? What does she say? Look at Quran Surah Maryam. She says, Ya Layta, I so wish that I wasn't alive. I wish I was a forgotten entity. She hadn't done anything wrong, but she was worried what people would say. Because when she went into the town, a 19-year-old, everybody knew her. She's now coming with a baby. And they're saying, Oh Maryam, what have you done? Your father wasn't a bad man. Your mother wasn't a bad man. She doesn't say a word. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ She points to the baby. And they say, a baby in the cradle can talk? And he says, Ana Abdullah. He speaks, right? But he saves her. But that requires a lot of courage. So what I'm trying to get at is, when you and I do something wrong, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ We keep it to ourselves and it's like we're really in prison, in our own prison. Yet, when we want success, Quran says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ الَّذِينَ is plural. It didn't say إِلَّا الَّذِينَ. We need help. Now, a few days ago, when we talked about Habib ibn Muzahir, I talked about friends. Friends are an amazing help because they push you on. The second help that you may have to get is mom. Mom just wants you to be the best. She doesn't care if she perishes. But she wants you to get there. There's a little bit of selfishness, because she knows if you get there, she'll get there too, right? When I tell my children, I used to tell them a lot, that I just want to see you at the door of Jannah, what's wrong with you? And she said, Mama, don't pray for that. And I'd say, why? Where do you want to go? And they say, no door, we want to go in. I say, okay. So that's basically what we're talking about, mom. But moms I'm going to talk about tomorrow, inshallah, because I'll have more children tomorrow. And it's a bit easier when children actually understand the value of a mother. I don't think we have quite got there yet, okay? Any generation. When moms get old, they think, oh God, she just go on and on and on. But we'll talk about it from a Quranic perspective and how, regardless of who you are, where you are, where you have reached. If you want shafa'ah, it's your mother. Nobody. It doesn't matter what sort of mother she is. There is shafa'ah there. But we'll talk about it tomorrow. Today, I want to talk about time and place. And I do this every year. I've been speaking here for more than 30 years, I think. Okay. And every Friday, it's really important. You see, time and place make a major difference. You're sitting here on the Farsha Hussein. It's very different from even sitting with a close friend on a nice sofa, you've relaxed on the, you know, on the cushion. They've even put a vibrating thing on at the back. You've been to the hairdressers where they wash your hair. Oh, come on, you have, haven't you? And they say, do you want that massage thing on? And you think, it's still not the same because the contentment you get here is different. It's the same thing with the day. Friday is absolutely phenomenal. Look at Prophet Yaqub. Prophet Yaqub's sons, what did they do? They got jealous. So they took Yusuf and they put him in the well. You know that, don't you? Okay. Anyway, you know the whole history. You've read the whole whatever happened. But you also know that they do come to their father and they say, please pray for our forgiveness. They knew that if they asked for forgiveness, it'd be a bit difficult. You do know that if somebody else prays for you, they are praying with a sinless tongue. They haven't committed your sins. That's why I always ask them. When somebody says, what do you want? Do dua. But this is the problem with us. Say, do dua for what? I say, sab kuch, everything, la la la. Do dua, if you're really close to them, ask for specifics, it'll happen. You have to trust at some point. So they said to their father, pray for us. So he says in Quran, this is his words, he says, sawfa astaghfirullah rabbi. I will, sawfa in Arabic means future. I will ask for your forgiveness. My question, why don't you just ask for forgiveness now? Why do you have to say, I will? What did they have to do? Mufassirin tells us he was waiting for Friday. Friday is a Blue Cross sale. Don't lose Friday. I don't know about you, but many years ago, before the online stuff happened, when there was a sale, people used to queue at 4 o'clock in the morning. Tell me you haven't been. Next, especially in Watford, there's a big queue, right? And you stood in the queue, and when it was time for Salah, you said, can you keep my place? I go and pray. And they would say, if you keep mine, I'll keep yours. Right? You don't know that, huh? Because you're a generation of phones. No? Anyway, so that generation was there. So in the same way, people waited for Friday. Now one thing, okay, you'll have to wait for next Friday now. One thing on Friday morning for Fajr, if you have something that's not budging, a problem that's not moving, you know, like it's stuck, wait for Friday morning. Again, this is from our hadith. When you finish your Fajr Salah, go into Sajda, recite Suratul Kafirun 10 times, right, in Sajda, and then ask for your hajat. It's amazing how that works. It's like the impossible to the possible. I'm trying to say this for all these things. Okay, I'm going to go through some hadiths about Friday, just so that you remember. I know you've done them. I know you know. But Quran says, enough at the dhikr. It is good to remind people again and again and again. First, I remind myself. The first thing is, in the 24 hours of Friday, there are 600,000 opportunities to get freedom from the fire. And if you calculate that, that's 1 in 4 seconds. So even if you get bored of listening to me, every 4 seconds, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. And think of everything you want forgiveness for. And you know what? Don't sit and think maybe. There's no such thing as maybe with Allah. He says in Hadith Qudsi, I am what you think, what you make me out to be. Let me tell you something. About 3 years ago, I had a little girl who used to come home every day to recite Quran. She wouldn't come to workshop or madrasa because she had a tumor in her head. And when she wore her hijab, the tumor would show because it was coming out, and they said it was inoperable. And when they said it was inoperable, they said that she wouldn't live for much longer. She only lived for a year after that. And she taught me more than anything else in the world. And when she used to come home, she said, Omi auntie, they can't bury me with a phone, no? Otherwise, I could talk to you when they ask me all those questions. Very smart young lady. So I said, I don't think those phones are going to work down there. Right? So she said, well, when they ask me these questions, what do I say? What do I do? What do I tell them? So we went through all the questions. In my mind, I don't think they'd ask her anything. But she went through all the questions. Who is your God? Who is your Imam? Who are your prophets? All the rest of it, right? And then we went through Friday. And we went through the day of Friday, and there's an opportunity of, like I said, 1 in 4 seconds of forgiveness. She was only 11 when she died, but she came back 1 week, and she said, I recited Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh every 4 seconds last Friday. Now, Umi auntie, I don't need you. She said, I don't need you, because now I know, I will tell them, haven't you read? Look at the hadith. Look at what Quran says. I am forgiven. I'm done. That is the confidence the human being needs. Especially on a Friday. He has said, no, I haven't said, you haven't said. That's the importance of this Friday. Okay, so we went to Yaqub. It's the best day to do ibadah together, to sit together. It's phenomenal. Friday is absolute. To sit together with Ahlul Baytis, I mean, you can't get better than that. And this is the only Friday until next year when you'll sit together. Don't tell me you'll come again, because you won't, okay? So this Friday is the only Friday. Savor the moment. Sayyidah is here, okay? As many times as possible, salawat. You know, we tell our children that the angels have clipboards, gold and silver clipboards. And until the night of Saturday, which is tonight, they will be writing down how many salawats you read. Incidentally, in Islam, the night comes first and then the day. That's why you say Laylatul Jumu'ah, or I think in our language you say Jumirat for Thursday night, because the night comes first. So it's quite a lot of time that's gone by. Ghusl. If you haven't done ghusl, do it now. Well, not now, when you get home, okay? So, ghusl on a Friday. The Prophet tells Imam Ali, if you don't have enough money to buy food, say you had a choice between food and water for ghusl. Don't have the food, have the water for ghusl. That's how important it is. It is a mustahab ghusl, qurbatan ilallah, and you are doing a ghusl of Jumu'ah. It's phenomenally important. People think these things are not important. But you know what? I realized the importance of such things when somebody came home and said, your house is not feng shui. Have you heard of this feng shui business? Yeah, this thing, this plant must be this way. And I said, all I know is that things should be towards Qibla or not towards Qibla. That's all I know. And it works. So this works. Cut your nails on a Friday. The Prophet said you will be kept away from 70 diseases just by cutting your nails on a Friday. Go to the pedicure, manicure, I know, whatever you do. Go. But get it done on a Friday. It is really important to get this done, okay? Sadaqah, obviously you know that you will take out on a Friday. Gifts. Cook good food on a Friday. Buy your family gifts. In Gujarati we say fulne to fulni pankri. If not a flower, a petal is good enough as well. Friday Imam Sadiq, I'll repeat what he says. He says, woe to the person. Do you know woe is old English language? But he basically says, these people are useless. Who don't use time on a Friday to sit down and seek knowledge. This is Imam, okay, that's what he says. Remember your marhumin. You know, the Prophet, there's a wonderful story about him sitting on Friday morning in the mosque of Medina, and he was weeping. And when people came in for Fajr Salah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? Has somebody died? What's happened? They said, your marhumin visited me. And they said, we don't understand. He said, they visited me because they said last night they visited your houses and you didn't even think about them. So think about them now. So marhumin, right now, recite a Suratul Fatiha for them. Eat pomegranates on Friday. The season's coming up. Well, nearly. I think August, September is a bit better. But there is no supermarket that will not do pomegranates. Okay, pomegranate juice, okay? But it gives you noor in your kalb. Just a little bit. Give it to your children. See the difference it makes. Okay, now, there's a lot of other things as well. But what I'd like to do today, in the few minutes I have left, is Suratul Jumu'ah. To recite Suratul Jumu'ah today, it gives you safety from this Friday to next Friday. You get forgiveness from this Friday to next Friday. It's a phenomenal day. Hopefully, in Fajr, you recited Jumu'ah and Munafiqun. If you didn't, it's okay. Recite it now. You know in Salatul Jumu'ah, there's two rakats. You know that, right? In the first rakat, they recite A'la and Ghashiyah. In the second rakat, they recite Jumu'ah and Munafiqun. It's not wajib to recite it. Many don't, but it's good to recite it. So when you go home, A'la, Ghashiyah, Jumu'ah and Munafiqun. Now, Jumu'ah starts with the word Yusabbihu. You know that? Yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa fil ard. There are seven surah. Okay, that's plural, but I'll say surahs so you understand. There are seven surahs of the Quran that are known as Musabbihat. Do you know which ones they are? Isra. Well, you can look them up. You can type Musabbihat in Google and it'll tell you, right? But it's Isra. Anybody know what 57 is? Oh, come on. All these people whom I know, whom I can see, who sit with me, know what it is. What is it? Hadid? Hashr? Jum'ah? Taghabun? A'la? One more. There's seven. No? Don't look at me like that, okay? I'm not going to do anything to you. Right, so there are seven surahs that start with Yusabbihu or Sabbaha. And to recite one, the Prophet never slept unless he recited one of these. So I normally tell children, don't recite the whole surah, just recite one ayah. And on Thursday night, recite Suratul Jumu'ah. If the Prophet did it, there must be something in there that works. Anyway, let's look at Suratul Jumu'ah. So Suratul Jumu'ah has 11 ayat, it's Madani Surah. You could do that? Focus of Suratul Jumu'ah is two things. One, what changed the people of Makkah into becoming Muslims? These were people who were, they were funky people. They didn't respect any human values at all. Yet they became Muslims. So Suratul Jumu'ah tells you about the paradigm shift. And the second thing is Salatul Jumu'ah. You good with that? Two focus points. Divide it into five again. We divided Inshiqaq into five, divide Jumu'ah into five. Can you do that? Come on, you could have, there's a little bit of acknowledgement, you know, like nod a bit or say yes, no, maybe, thank you. Okay. So if I were you, I divide it into five. Now I've tried to make it into a mnemonic so you don't forget, because you might forget in Shikar, but Jumu'ah you will recite every Friday. So if you remember PMDDJ, please make dua on the day of Jumu'ah. Can you remember that? Please make dua on the day of Jumu'ah. Can you remember five sections? Good. The first section talks about the perfection of Allah. يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. No ayah of the Quran has four names of Allah except Suratul Jumu'ah. Four names. Now I'm going to just go back a little bit. My mother died in 2016. My mother had never been ill all her life. In 2014 she got cancer. I have a mother who fasted 3 months of a year. I thought as a child that Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan was wajib. I never knew that people didn't fast in Rajab and Shaban. My mother fasted Mondays and Thursdays, 13, 14, 15, all the nafilas, every dua you did, my mother would know them. Okay. When my mother fell ill, when she went through sessions of chemotherapy, and may God save everyone from such sessions, she became very, very frail. And she called me and she said, I can just about manage wajibat. She said, it's so hard for me to do anything else. So she said, I only want you to do one thing. In all the things that you're doing, can you find me something that's really, really short that I can recite so I feel good? So I told her, Mama, in the Quran, in Surah number 780, they say, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has the most beautiful names, call them by Him. Mama, those names are so short. There's only one. She wouldn't believe me, she had to read it herself. You know how mamas are, right? They don't trust very quickly, they look again. Okay. So she said, okay, I want to learn them. And the first four she learned were Malikul, Quddusul, Azizul, Hakim. And I can still remember, and I was telling the children yesterday, I can still remember her last days because I was there, I tried to go as much as possible, and I could hear her read Malikul Quddusul Azizul Hakim and Rahman, and we did Rahman, Rahim, Rauf. But these are the first ones that she recited because Jumu'ah was her favorite day. She would not do anything but the ibadah of Allah. Friday was just set apart. Okay. So يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember these four names? Malikul Quddusul Azizul Hakim. I don't have time to go into each one, but it's good to learn. Inshallah, one day you can come to classes and we will learn about them. So that's the first section, perfection of Allah. What was the second one? M. Yes, second section was M. Do you remember? Please make dua on the day of Jumu'ah. M, you remember Muhammad. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. It is He who was sent to the people of Makkah to do four things. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, to be able to recite to them the words or the letters or the book of Allah. What was the second one? وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. When you purify someone, you motivate them to become better. That's what purification means, motivation. What was the third one? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Taught them the law. Without laws, it doesn't work. If you didn't have 30 and 40 and 20 speeds, miles per hour on the roads, they're irritating. But if you didn't have them, can you imagine the chaos it would cause? So you need laws. Every home needs a certain amount of laws. For example, in our home, when you are sitting down to eat, you will not have your phone with you. When you're sitting down to eat, you will talk softly. We'll hear whatever you want to say, but you're not far away. You don't have to shout, no? Speak softly. Well, hikmah. Hikmah means walk the talk. That's what he taught. That was his paradigm shift. Okay, so what was the third one I said? Please make dua. Oh, D. Middle one, easy, the donkey. Can you remember the donkey? That's the middle one. So what does Allah say? Ya ayyuhal ladhina hu. Who is he talking to? First, who is he talking to? He's talking to? Who is he talking to when he said that you take your book as though it is papers on a donkey? Come on, you should know this surah really, really well. He gives an example. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاتَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْهِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارَ. Ka in the Arabic language means a donkey is much better. Might be talking to those who had the Torah, because all they did was honor their book. They took the Quran, the Torah, they put it in a lovely casing, they put it on top of the shelf, maybe in a wedding they put it over the bride. I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about us. What I don't understand, have you seen weddings, Koja weddings? I don't know about your wedding, but in a Koja wedding, sorry, I have to say this. So the most important aspect of this person's life is being recited, their nikah. Is it not important? You're being bound to this other person. And she picks up a Quran. And I'm going, what's wrong with you? Either you are reading the most important book in your life, or you're listening to the most important contract in your life. You can't do both at the same time, can you? And then I see them with this Quran on top of the head. Okay, I don't know where that comes from. But I remember one incident where I saw this bride walking up to the toilet and this person was holding the Quran. I went, what is wrong with you? All your life you didn't have a Quran. Now you have a Quran on top of your head. Sorry, I was diverting. Okay. So this is what the Jews did with their Torah. They gave it importance, but they didn't look at it. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book, no doubt in it, is a guidance for those who believe. And then he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you think that you are the chosen ones and your investment is in the hereafter, go ask for death. All right, so what did we say? Please make dua, donkey. And the third one was day of Jum'ah. So we've got a D for death. The fourth section is death. إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. The death you run away from will meet you. That's Ayah 8. Do you know, you remember it? 8 has two circles, right? Circle of life and circle of death. Can you remember that? So now if I ask you, what Ayah is Surah Al-Jumu'ah Ayah 8? Death. إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي. You can go to the gym, you can do whatever you want, but death will come and meet you. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will be returned to He who knows everything, and He will tell you what you did. He will say, this is your life. Okay, what was the last one? Jumu'ah, that's right. Please make dua on the day of Jumu'ah. And the last one is Jumu'ah. It's the only place in the Quran that talks about Jumu'ah. And you know what? Jumu'ah, you can't pray on your own. You know that? You have to be in Jama'ah. You cannot go to Jannah on your own. You have to go together. I mentioned this in the first majlis. Imagine you being told, Ki lad kulil Jannah. On your own. You're told, Ki lad kulil Jannah, enter Jannah. And you enter this massive place. No connection with any human being at all. Even the irritating ones. Nothing. No good people, nothing, just you and this massive place. How many days will you survive? How many days? Not very long at all. Not. So Jumu'ah is played together. Jama'ah, is it not? It's beautiful to have so many different people around. This is our Jama'ah. And when we pray, we say, Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. What we'll say, Rabbana, our Rabb, atina, grant us. So it's really important on Jumu'ah. It doesn't matter who it is, we want all of them in, right? Pray for everybody together. So for a moment, before we go into Masayib, just close your eyes. And this is from Imam Bakir, by the way. There's more than 40 people here.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
And he said that when 40 people gather together, especially women and children, and they raise their hands in dua for the person next to them, Allah will definitely accept that dua. Don't look at yourself. For 1 minute, look right and left, ask for their du'as, and that's it, you're done. And have the confidence to know that you are Ahlul Jannah. That's how it works. Don't let anybody scare you. You could have Rahman and Rahim, Rabb. Right? It doesn't make sense when we get so scared, okay? All right. So we're going to go to Masail. And today we remember this personality. He was only 12 years old. So on the night of Ashura, Imam Hussein is reading out all these names. And he says, these will be the people who will be on the battlefield tomorrow. And Qasim comes up and he says, Amir, my uncle, my name's not there. And he says, but you're an embodiment of my brother. And you are too young. In his head, Imam Hussein is probably thinking, Muhammad, these are all young. And he says, Qasim, what do you think of death? And every one of you have heard this every year where he says, death to me, especially for you and for the cause of Allah, is sweeter than honey. And we listen to all of this today when we hear of those in Gaza. You actually see Karbala coming alive. They say the same things. I listen to them and it's like you're listening to Messiah. Now, Imam Hassan, just a little bit of history. Imam Hassan had four sons, by the way. He had Abu Bakr, Abdullah, Hassan and Muthanna, which means the second Hassan, and Qasim. Just need to say a little bit about this because, you see, in my time, when I was younger, on the day of Shah Qasim, they used to bring Mehndi. Do you remember that? And because history happened a long time ago, they forgot. You see, Hassan and Muthanna got married to Fatima, daughter of Imam Hussein, before the event of Karbala. And when he came to Karbala on the day of Ashura, he was amongst those who fought in the battle. And he was taken as dead. He collapsed and everybody thought he had died. But the day after Ashura, he had life in him. Now somebody from the army of Yazid called Asma finds him. And Asma says, you will not touch him because he's related to me. And Asma takes him to Kufa. He recovers, he actually recovers, he gets better. And from him comes the family of Tabatabai, from Hassan and Muthanna. Now we got confused. We mixed Hassan and Muthanna with Qasim and we made him a groom and we took out Mehndi. Even today we have Murtiyas that talk about the Mehndi, but that wasn't the case. Now look at Qasim. So Qasim comes up to Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. He says, I need permission. Imam says, I can't give you permission. Jihad is not wajib on you and your mama is all alone. I can't give you permission. So he goes out and Humayd ibn Muslim writes that I see this little boy playing with the ropes that tied the tents. His mama comes and says, what's wrong with you? I told you to go. And he says, but he's refusing. So now Zakirin say, I don't know, I haven't read it anywhere, but Zakirin say that his mama said, look what's around your neck. You have a taweez. Something tied up around your neck. So he takes this taweez and he gives it to Imam Hussein. And the taweez is a letter from his Baba, which says, Hussein, the day when you will need me, I will not be there, Hussein. So accept my son instead of me. So Imam dresses him up in an armor, takes him out. And there are quite a few names that are given. We give him the name of Azraq al-Shami. When he sees Qasim come out, he says, who is that? That looks like the heart of Hussein. He says, I don't worry. I got four sons, all of them warriors. They're going to finish this child. There's a one-to-one battle. Qasim wins all of them. Azraq al-Shami is absolutely infuriated. He goes, has a one-to-one battle with Qasim, and Qasim kills him as well. Now you have another guy, and his name is Amr bin Sa'ad Azdi. Why do I give you these names? Because when in your life you have bala, write these names and step on them. Because these were those were called Qatil Karbala, those who killed the Shahada of Karbala. Maybe you look up their names. So he says to Humayd ibn Muslim, I will finish this child. And Humayd said, what has this child done to you? He said, nothing. But this child is the heart of Hussein. History is good to know. He goes towards Qasim, raises his sword and hits him. When Imam Hussein hears his cry, history tells us that he goes to the battlefield like an eagle. He sweeps down, he hits Azdi, who screams. In the confusion, the horses run from one end to the other. Qasim's horse runs towards the enemy fields. He gets beaten, he gets hurt, he gets pelted. And when the dust of Karbala settles, there is a child who has been trampled with horses. Imam Hussein says that I see this child whose toenail is scratching the ground. And he says, I say, Qasim, you called me, but I couldn't come. Qasim, I am here. He picks Qasim up. Now, there are many, many riwayah. I will take the one which says when Imam Hussein lifts him, because he had been trampled so much, his body has lengthened, so the legs were dragging on the earth of Karbala. Imam places him near Ali al-Akbar. He takes sand, he puts it in his head, and he says, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, I have been deprived of two sons. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sayalamun alladhina dhalamu ayyamun kalibiyan kalibun. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be able to take advantage of the day of Friday, to be able to get the Jannah that we also desire, and to be able to get the forgiveness that we desire. Ya Allah, make us attached to His book, to Your book. Ya Allah, there are so many people in the world who are suffering today. We ask You in the name of Qasim to alleviate their suffering. We heard of a death today. Somebody was very close to me. His name was Marhum Shams Kanani. Please will you recite a Surah Al-Fatiha for him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صدق الله العظيم.